Right.
Anyway, the end of 2001 has always been low over my head. I don't think we need to
I love it.
Dive into it too much on this episode.
So yeah, I mean, I think Kubrick probably was right.
Oh, you think that's what happened? Is we're birthed from the Star Baby?
No, I think I don't. No, that's not what happened. That's not the. That's not what happens in 2001.
Yeah, 2001. I never got that.
He becomes like a new evolved form of human beings, because every time you confront the monolith, it like makes whatever it confronts evolve. So it was apes, then they got the monolith, and they got tools to become humans.
Yeah.
Yep.
All so right. You right where I'm confused.
But I don't know that we need to have that as part of our religion.
Is like that you think Kubrick was right about that?
I don't know. I think it makes sense. He's like it's an interstellar being that helps things evolve.
Okay. So you think I'm just trying to pin down what our religion is.
I'm
about.
Just saying maybe he's not wrong.
Okay. So maybe we evolved from some other life form.
Hey man, look what I did. If you did it, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket?
Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that.
That's not how I do it.
Hello. Welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight over what went wrong, and come up with solutions so crazy they just might work. I'm James Meiser.
I'm Sam Chidley.
And I'm Jared Sane.
Amen.
Is it amen or is it amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why are we saying amen so much? What are we talking about today?
Because we're talking about religion. We're not just talking about religion. We're making up our own new religion.
Yeah.
I've been tired of all of these other religions making so much money. I want to get in on it.
Yeah. In fact, this is going to be the first installment of what we're thinking is going to be a three-part series.
That's right.
On religion. Today, we're specifically going to be talking about...
The religious text. That's going to be our origin story, the foundational beliefs of our religion, and sort of how that is portrayed to all of our followers.
Yeah. What's the story that we're, you know, spreading through the world here?
Yep.
That people will soon be arguing about the meaning of.
That's right.
Right.
And starting wars over.
Okay, so how do you just want to start? Do we need to maybe consider some of the models that we have at our disposal?
Yeah, there's a lot of things a lot of decisions we need to make.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we got to figure out.
Do you guys like the Bible? there's a few big texts out there, right? You got the Bible, you got the Quran, and then you have all the Eastern religions as well a whole bunch of texts for those. I have no idea how many texts there actually are in Hinduism, but you know they've got a couple of the big ones like the Bhagavad Gita and the
Kama Sutra.
Sure. Yeah,
that's I don't the know. Most important,
right,
the most sacred text.
But it's you know there's just a lot of different versions of all their stories as well.
Yeah, what I also like about the New Testament is there's not just one dude writing the story. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of different dudes. They're all writing slightly different versions of the same story.
It's like Rashomon.
Yeah, it's like Rashomon. Right. The real Rashomon feel to it.
The gospel according to,
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, I'd like it to be more than just the disciples of our prophet or whoever our central figure is.
Yeah, I also want it to be a little bit more inclusive in terms of what kind of people are writing these stories.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't even all have to be people. Maybe one of them could be written by a sentient ape.
Oh.
Sure.
Depending on, the religious tenets of our new religion. Do, that might do, make a lot of sense.
Do we need to figure out what not, those...
But it's religion, so like, who cares?
Do we need to figure out what our central tenets are?
I think we need a goal.
I think you're right. And then, like, and then shape the religion in order to achieve that goal. So, right.
Like, are we really just trying to make money?
Or do we have a more altruistic goal? I'm not in it for the money.
I'm not, for the fame? I guess I'm not so much in it for the money as I am in it for the power.
Mm-hmm. I just want to write a book that sells. I'm going to ghostwrite an important book.
Like, you don't even care if like most of the royalties don't go to you.
Yeah, it's
like,
fine. And I don't need to, I don't need them to know that it was me that wrote it. You know, I just want to know that I did it.
Okay. So it's just for you.
Yeah, I'm just doing it for me.
Your own personal enjoyment.
For the love of the game.
What about you, Jared? What are you in it for?
I don't know. I feel like I would just like it to be a little bit more ambiguous, I think.
You would like it to be more ambiguous.
I'm in it.
That's
so
an ambiguous statement. Yeah. As far as like what you're in it for. I'm in it for I'm not going to say what.
Yeah. Jared's a mystic. Oh, you're not going to elaborate. You're just going to like leave that. All right.
Well, I mean, it's. I guess them. I want it to be something that people can follow, but they can read it in a way that easily suits whatever they want to do anyway.
Uh huh.
Effectively making it near useless, I guess.
So you want it to be something to that people could read for support during in their life, but the actual support that it gives is up to anybody's interpretation.
Yeah, and but also maybe like some phrases, you know, instead of like in the beginning, God created the earth, whatever. It's like, how about in the beginning, or maybe it was the middle. Something happened.
Okay,
all right.
So you just want it to be like a lot more like a lot less specific. You know what? One positive thing about that is, it won't. You know, there won't be this like sort of like, well, we just have to throw this part out because we know that, like, literally it couldn't have happened that way. But if you throw in a lot more, like, qualifiers...
Just a lot of qualifiers.
Then people would be like, well, I don't know. He said, like, perhaps in the beginning, so... Like,
this is becoming a very tentative yeah. religion.
It's kind of like a very wishy-washy, you know, like...
I'm gonna change my goal. My new goal is to be able to shape people's sense of morality.
Okay. Yeah.
To shape their morals.
Yeah, that I think that's a good...
That's in line with my power grab.
That's a good goal. I think, like, all religion addresses some kind of, like, existential question.
Yeah.
You know, like, why, mm-hmm. like, why are we here? How did we get here? What are we supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
So what do we want our answers to be?
Aliens.
So, like, how did we get here?
Aliens.
What do you think about that, Jared?
Oh, I think Scientology already kind of did that.
God.
Pretty successfully, though.
Too late. Okay. Not aliens.
Yeah. I don't... Well, we're allowed to borrow. How the about, best writers steal from other writers.
How about ghosts?
Ghosts?
Ah. Ghosts is interesting.
Uh-huh. Is it? Like, we were... I don't understand it, I guess. Like, we were brought here by ghosts.
I guess it would be hard to have ghosts without people first.
Being a living being is just an interim state between two ghost states.
Okay. So here's the thing is, with our creation story, I think we're going to get a lot more juice if we have, like, a central figure.
Ooh, what if...
Like,
what
if you have it be this, like, figures. If you have it, like aliens or some, like, random thing that dropped us off here...
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know. There's not a very active protagonist, I guess, is what I'm hoping with it. So... I want like a deity of some kind that okay. people can blame things
what if,
on.
What if there's two battling deities and they were like, they're in this, I don't know, they punched each other and that was the Big Bang.
Uh-huh. So we have two deities, like a good guy and a bad guy?
Like a god and a devil?
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily have to be that stark, I think. You know,
they've got to represent something. You can't have two deities and like yeah. they don't like mean different things.
It could be an id versus ego type thing.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No.
I'd like to me, that doesn't really... That divide is not something that I find...
It's not, like, that applicable to...
Yeah, like, that's not something that, like, with okay. my life, I'm like, oh, how do I get my id under control? You know, like, it's...
Yeah.
You gave up on that a long time ago.
That was kind of a knock at me for no reason. All right. Anyway.
Okay, so not that. I was just throwing out an idea.
Uh-huh.
Well, we caught it and then threw it on the floor.
Anyway, but I think you're, I think this is a good place to go, though, like, whereas, like, people, like, are, like, two things simultaneously. And it's not just, like, good evil, okay, that's been done, and I'm not sure that really worked, because everyone's like, well, I'm one of the good guys, and I'm not one of the bad guys.
Well, what if it's instead of two different people, maybe it's, like, one person with two heads?
Like, what's his name? Janus?
Well, he has two faces, not two heads.
Oh, yeah, you're right,
but...
No, I want two heads.
Two heads?
Two heads.
A two-headed god?
Two-headed god. The Church of the Two-Headed God.
Okay. Okay. I mean, it's a good visual.
Uh-huh. So, what I like, if we're going to do this, like, there's, like, two...
How about it's more like picture like a snake with two heads, except instead of two heads on one side of the body, it's, like, one head on either side of the body.
Like, one on, like, where the tail would be.
Yeah.
Instead of a tail, it's just more snake.
More snake, more head. Like a snake head. Uh-huh. Two snake heads.
Okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You, like, so it's two things, dual but it's one heads. Thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's actually easier for me to wrap my head around than the Holy Trinity. Two-headed snake.
Right. 33% simpler.
Yeah. What are the two? I want to know what these, like, two sides are about, though. If they're not, like, good and evil,
I think maybe they're, like, tragedy and comedy.
Tragedy and comedy.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That's interesting. That does feel very relevant to my life, you know.
And maybe they're like addicted to gambling. They're just like gambling.
Wait, why are they addicted to gambling?
Because they're gambling with the fate of people.
Uh huh.
They're always, like, playing dice.
Uh-huh.
Why would you want to associate with tragedy?
No, it's the same. You can't not, because it's the same thing.
Ah.
They're the same being.
Oh, right, because it's not two things anymore.
It's not two things.
It's two sides of the same thing.
Yeah.
And I like the gambling thing took me a second to get there, but also that makes a little bit of sense of, like, the randomness of, like, chance, but there's also, like, this, like, you know, there's fate in there because it's chant. It's like gambling, but from the god.
Yeah.
So I think it could work. It's kind of a fun god.
And yeah, and in this religion, heaven is like a Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
And hell is also Las Vegas.
Yeah.
No matter what, you end up in Las Vegas after you die.
Didn't we cover that in our afterlife episode? I think that was
one of the things?
No, I think that was, like, what the last level of the afterlife was like, you ended up in Vegas.
Oh, man.
So there might be...
Predictable, I guess.
We might be, like, hitting on some deeper truths.
Yeah.
We've come back to this a couple times. I like your two-headed snake god. I like him.
What do you guys want? I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be a snake.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the snake, though?
It's good. I can't stop picturing it.
Uh-huh. It seems...
The comedy snake, in my mind, has googly eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. My only hang-up with it being a snake is that it seems, like, kind of easy to kill.
What about a dragon snake?
Uh-huh.
Almost more like an Asian-style dragon. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that works. We have our god. How did it make us? How did it make the world?
Maybe it's their biggest bet.
Oh, yeah. It's the biggest gamble. They have money riding on it against each other.
Okay. I like that. Like, this is like an ongoing bet.
Like, before creation or whatever, it was just like a black void, and it was just like the two of them, and they were... playing cards.
Uh-huh.
And then they decided to think up a more ambitious game.
Right.
And so they created life.
They created the
universe.
They created the world. And it, so the idea being, like, the god of, like, comedy and fortune was like, I think we, all right, if we create these people, like ultimately what?
I think it's like a continuous bet, where it's like they're betting on everybody's lives all the time.
Oh, okay.
So it's not so much.
So it's
like
not some like ultimate outcome.
No, I don't think there's ever an ultimate outcome. It's sort of like they're at the horse races.
I see.
Yeah, it's just like millions of side bets.
Yeah, it's bajillions, and they're betting on like everything.
Gotcha. That's good.
See, yeah, the comedy god made a big bet on our podcast.
I don't know how that's paid out for him.
He's not gotten the payout yet.
Yeah. The tragedy god is taking it to the bank.
Yeah. I like that. That's fun.
That is fun. I like it because it leaves so much open too. It's like if they're not betting, if it's not like this like story of all of humanity is going to ultimately go one way or the other, which is like how a lot of like religious doctrines are. They're like, these people will be saved, these people won't be saved. And it's like a story about humanity collectively, as opposed to sort of like these two gods who are sort of like, I think Sam's going to have a bad day. And the other one's like, and the other god's like, no, this is going to be his day. Like he's going to nail it today.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, well, like, put your money where your mouth is.
And like, I'm not feeling that confident, but this seems to have a good day.
Like, I think that
is a little, like, tiny little bet on Sam.
I think that is like much more in line with how I feel about the universe. You know, that it's never like one thing or the other, but it's constantly flipping and readjusting, and that it's like very different for everybody.
Yeah, and if the world is like heading in a good trajectory, that means that like the God of Fortune is having like a hot streak.
He's having a hot streak. Like he's got like a bigger pile that day.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of the game.
No.
It keeps going.
That's cool.
Until they get bored.
I like it. Yeah, what happens when they're like, we need another game? That's our book of revelations.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely have
an end of the world document.
So in the beginning, there were these two gods, and they were like...
Well, it's one god with two heads.
One god with two heads, and they were like, we're tired of playing these boring card games. We're creating a universe where we can bet on everything all the time. So now that they've been gambling now for billions and billions of years on everything, how does it end? Maybe they decide to go all in. They both go Ooh. All in on a bet.
Uh-huh. I think like if all right, so if you've got this world where people are having like fortune or misfortune, you know, or tragedy or comedy, or however you want to like to make that divide. We've got different sects that interpret the text differently.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, if the world is going to get to a place where it feels like it's really becoming more the one thing than the other, you know, then maybe that would be the point where it's like, well, this game looks like it's wrapping up. Like if one of the heads puts their chips in and loses, then they got to find a different game, which means we're all out of luck, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what happens then is that the losing head gets so angry that it like... blows or somehow, you know, hits like a whole bunch of other planets and sends them hurtling towards ours.
It's kind of like the cosmic version of like flipping the chessboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world ends when one of the heads rage flips.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Like you might align with comedy, but you really don't want too much comedy because tragedy will get the last laugh. So to speak.
It's an interesting religion.
It is. Okay. So I don't know. Like, what are we thinking for our... I think what we do need is to have a... We need to have a name for the religion that makes... Just sounds good.
Yeah.
It's got to sound good. It's got to sound marketable. I would like it if the names... if they need to like... Either like... They need to sound good together, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Like Tom and Jerry or Mario and Luigi.
It has to have that quality. Yeah. Like where you they're immediately connected. Yes, exactly.
I've got terrible names.
Let's hear some terrible names.
Yeah,
maybe that'll help us get started.
Okay, Scaldy and Scoldy.
Okay,
Scaldy and Scoldy. Which is which?
I think Scaldy is comedy and Scoldy is tragedy.
Uh-huh.
All right,
they sound they're a little too similar in that I would be like praying to the wrong god sometimes.
Yeah.
A little too Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't. I mean, like Tweedledee and Tweedledum is like you can differentiate. I think it's just because it's like an A. The difference between an A and an O is very close.
Yeah.
The only thing I've been able to think of is one could be haha, the other one could be boohoo.
Haha and boohoo.
Yeah,
that's not bad. It's very simple.
It's
I like that.
Primal.
I like that. Well, this is a very primal image that we have. You know, yep. Two-headed snake dragon. Haha and boohoo.
Yeah.
I think it works, honestly. I don't think we need to overthink it. Haha, yep. The god Haha and the god Boohoo.
Yeah.
You know what I like about that is like I feel like I don't think I would like want to pray to the god of tragedy ever, but the god Boohoo I mean if I was like really sad or like having a really terrible day, I'd be like, "Oh Boohoo, like, hear me. Hear me now.
Well,
I've had a very bad day."
So, we have Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism. This could be Habuism?
Habuism?
Yeah. That sounds... Habuism. That sounds oddly correct.
It could also be Buha.
Buha. Buhaism.
The Church of Buha?
Habuha.
Habuhu.
Habuhu. No.
You can't use the names.
Yeah, you don't want to you don't want to like prioritize one of them over the other, so. Yeah.
Habu habu.
Habu buha. Buha habu. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Buha habu. Habu buhu. Habu buha. Habu buha.
Habu buha.
Habuism is good because it sounds almost like Hinduism.
Yep.
Habu. Habu.
and it makes you also think of.
I think that's the name of the god. Then, like, if you're going to speak of him, like it as like one entity,
it's Habu.
Habu.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the religion would be Habuism. I'm fine with that.
I'm good with that.
The heads separately are haha and.
Haha and boohoo.
Yeah.
And boohoo.
Habu.
Habu.
Okay, good. All right, so we've got a deity. It has names. We have our creation myth. We have our end of days myth. We don't have morality yet.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
We don't know how to behave.
I guess the closest thing we've come to so far is this sort of idea of like praying for the fortune of yourself and for the misfortune of others.
Okay.
Because you know if you're getting something, it's being taken from somebody else.
Okay. Well, that I think that if that's the message that our religion teaches you, that's already doing something that a lot of religions don't.
Here's like a way to flip it is you could have some sects of our religion that take on misfortune so that others are more fortunate.
Uh-huh. Ooh,
it's an interesting sect. Like,
they're very selfless.
Yeah, they're selfless.
Yeah, well, I think it's just there's sort of an acknowledgement of the balance, right? Mm-hmm. Like fortune to somebody is misfortune to somebody else. Which doesn't necessarily mean that you have to like only seek out fortune, but most people would, I think.
We are just opposed to equality for all.
Just everybody having like a very neutral life. Maybe that is what we're striving for, where everybody is just like, maybe you can pray to live a balanced or try and live your life in such a way that you are not neither fortunate nor misfortunate.
Yeah. Well, because that way we don't end the world, right? Because when it goes tilts too far one way or the other.
Right. And there is an emphasis on balance. I'm like very much picking up on that. We've got like the two-headed deity, and it's important that both sides win for the world to not end.
Yeah. So if you are a follower of Habuism and you have too much good fortune, the church will bestow tragedy upon you.
So do you need to like confess when you're having a good time? Like if you're like if you've had like a really good like stretch, like if you've had like just like this is my year, then it's you have to go to the Church of Habu and like talk to the like Habu head priest and be like, this is all the good fortune I've had this year. And he like, you know, makes his notes and stuff.
And then kicks you in the balls.
And then he's like, all right, I need you to like like invest in this like, you know, really terrible company and
makes it right.
Yeah, some blow up your marriage.
Yeah, like personal, you have to have like you have to have some
more
really
fights.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
I think that I don't want to get too far into like how we practice this religion, because I think that's for the next episode.
Okay.
But I do think there could be something where it's kind of like, maybe you have like a ledger,
mm-hmm.
and you write down like all of the fortunate things and all of the misfortunate things,
mm-hmm.
And then you grade them on a 10-point scale.
Okay.
And then you try and be zero.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is the thing that we're striving for. It sounds like we're all agreed. Like, we're trying to achieve like a balance of like fortune and misfortune and like happiness and sadness
in
life.
Here's the other thing that you could do. If I've lived a very fortunate life and I want to create more balance in the world, I would do something misfortunate to somebody else.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, religion's going to have different interpretations.
Cause
that's
like,
absolutely
because if I'm having a really good time, then the only way that I can ensure balance without causing misfortune on myself is to cause misfortune on somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I would like have a kid and just like raise them really poorly.
So, okay.
That's a good point too, because we're going to believe this is true across all people, but not all people are going to be followers of Habuism. And so it would make sense that the people that do understand that this balance is needed, like, why not sort of take advantage of that? It'll be easier for us, you know, to get followers at first too, if we're like, we will.
I see what you're saying. So it's like, all right, if you're in the Habu club, then it's okay if you're living a slightly more fortunate life, because you can bestow misfortune upon non-believers.
But that's actually a good thing.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good.
For the universe.
Yeah, it's necessary for the universe.
Right. It's necessary that to prevent like, somebody who's not Habu has a bad day.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. When you're trying to recruit for a new religion, like, you're going to want, people are going to want to, like, they want to hear what they want to hear, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you say, like, I'll join our religion, and you're going to have, like, a lot of, you're going to have, like, a really good time, you know?
Right.
And,
rather
here's
than
why.
join our religion and you will have a very neutral time.
Yeah, like nobody wants
zero
to do
impact
that.
On
yeah,
the
that's
world.
Not. That's very difficult to sell. So yeah, I think it's like if you're in our religion, you're one of the fortunate ones, and everybody who's not is misfortunate. But I think there also needs to be this sort of like individual striving for balance, even within one's own life. I think is like a religious idea.
That.
There, I can make sense of that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, and like, we'll probably end up with fanatics as well, who, like I think you mentioned, you could have, like, these sort of, like, monk-type figures who take as much misfortune upon themselves as they can.
Yeah,
so
they're
that
like,
other people can
they're
be
always,
fortunate.
Like, self-flagellating.
Yeah, right.
They're like that Opus Dei.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right. What else do we need to,
We also need to figure out what the afterlife is, because we said Vegas, but I actually don't want to do that.
I don't want to be in Vegas.
So, you die. If you've done everything right, then you have a zero balance in your...
Yeah. Here's the thing, because, like, very few people that will actually be the case, that you'll, like, just...
Oh, agree. Yeah.
But, like, so you're right. Striving towards zero, but, like, when you die, probably you're on one side or the other of that.
Yeah.
So maybe the afterlife, at least the beginning of it, is balancing you down to zero.
Ooh, I like that.
So it's like if you've had like a really great life or whatever, maybe you've got to
really
spend like a
after.
Shitty, like, not the whole time, but like you've got to like balance out at least in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've had, let's say you died at age 80
mm-hmm.
and you had cumulatively 42 good years
uh-huh.
and 38 bad years.
Right. You owe 4 years, right? Or
well,
no. Two years.
2 years.
You owe 2 years.
You owe two bad years.
Right.
So for 2 years, you're having an unfortunate afterlife.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, the afterlife itself is you get 100 chips that you can play either fortune, misfortune on people on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you get to I think you get to be a gambler, like, for the rest of eternity. I think you get to be part of this, you know, game that's going on.
Right, but if you run out of chips, you're just kind of an observer at that point.
Unless you get somebody to back you. I don't know. I don't really know how
spot,
it works. But...
spot me.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the other thing about this, balancing out in the afterlife, it's like, well, like, you know, all right, I guess that sounds kind of like not a terribly good time for a couple of years when you first get started, but like, also, what if you had a deficit of good years, and then like your first couple of years are really good when you start the afterlife?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I think it's pretty solid.
My question is this, though. So let's say that I grow up and I have like a pretty typical childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like mostly fortunate. And I turn 18 and murder 4 people.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then get life in prison.
Right.
And I live until I'm 80.
Yeah.
So I've had 18 years of like normal, and then 62 years of being in jail and misfortune.
Uh-huh.
Then in the afterlife,
right, I see you're getting at.
Rewarded for having
I don't think that cuz like you were saying, there's a scale, right? It's not just like 1 year doesn't just go right or left.
Right.
Right. Like, it's like that one year where you murdered 4 people I see. Because it's like that misfortunate for you. It's really misfortunate for them.
Misfortunate for them. Like, it's like, and again, like, the, it's all, if it's all a matter of balance, like, right, that's going to like count a lot more than, I don't know, lending somebody $10, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's this, like, that would balance out in the side of misfortune, like, probably in a way that you wouldn't be able to make up in your lifetime. I don't think that you get rewarded for that, because that's not like you're taking misfortune on upon yourself.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, those 4 people that experienced this, like, drastic misfortune, suddenly, appallingly, James.
sorry, geez.
They would get into the afterlife and then have that deficit. Like, they're the ones that would get...
They would get the...
The 60 years good fortune, because they were robbed on Earth. You being the cause of that imbalance, I think, would have to be punished in some way. That's kind of like roughly how I make logic out of my head. The 60 whatever years that you spend in jail paying penance for it does sound like misfortune that you've taken upon yourself, but I'm not sure on the morality of like rewarding you for
murder.
Yeah, because it kind of seems like that's like an earthly justice, right? Like that's balance is already being filled for the lives you took.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you're paying for that while you're alive.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know that spending a year in jail would necessarily always have to fall under the misfortune.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true, but you could
you could get, you know, real buff, work out a lot, get in good shape.
Yeah,
yeah, but you could also have 40 years of actual misfortune. Like, in which case are you then like rewarded for that?
Sounds like it.
I guess maybe that's part of the rules or part of the tenets of our religion. It's just sort of like, and sometimes you fail upwards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just. I think it's an acknowledgement that just doing good deeds your entire life is not going to save you.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do bad deeds.
I think it's a much more like realistic.
But James does have a good point still that I'm thinking about, which is, in our religion, if we don't want to say, hey, if you have a really... We want people to have a fortunate life while they're alive without having to... be, you know, condemned to like some years of misery afterwards. That's not a good sell.
I know what you're saying, but that is like kind of counter to our premise, which is like if everybody only has good fortune, then the world's gonna end, right?
I think we also need to have like a, like for the insiders, like a way to
okay.
cheat the system.
Uh-huh.
A loophole for insiders.
Right. We need like an indulgences clause or something. Yeah.
Well, right. Just something where you shift your ledger onto someone else.
Well, we do have that, right? Like we have well, maybe not that specifically, but we started to go there with like, if you're not a follower of Habuism, you can put like misfortune that would have been going your way onto a non-believer.
The text probably doesn't say like bestow misfortune upon non-believers. That will be our place as the people that create the institution that interprets the text.
Right. Right. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Like right now we're crafting this text. James wants to consolidate authority. I want it to be successful, and Jared wants it to shape people's morality. So let's just focus on that. And then when we get into implementation, we will figure out like how, especially for this, where it's going to become very important for James.
Right.
Like how the text is received by the public.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can use that to shape, to manipulate them.
That's right.
But are we doing all the things that we need to be doing to make that possible? Like, is this a text that's going to reach a lot of people, shape their morals, and incline them to relinquish their power to a higher authority?
I think we need a Bible story, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, we have this sort of, like, God figure,
right,
and this creation myth,
right.
But we don't have is a bunch of stories that illustrate the, like, mankind's place within it.
You're right. We need,
that's what we're missing.
We need like a prophet.
We need like a Noah. We need something where at some point Russell Crowe
mm-hmm.
can then like star as this character
uh-huh.
in the
Even
movie.
Better is if it is Russell Crowe.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
I like Kurt Russell more than Russell Crowe.
It's both of them. Well, right. There's going to be two people.
The Russells.
This.
Yeah.
Creating a new religion, we can't bank on inventing stories. I think we need like a story that happens in real life. So we need some sort of like proof of Habu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Otherwise, everyone's going to, you know. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard managed to pull it off, I guess. But I think we want to be a little bit more widely accepted than Scientology. So we need a prophet who is like alive today.
So you're saying we can't just make up...
No, we need a story. We don't need a... The prophet, I think, is... We are the prophets, right?
I don't even know if we are the prophets. I think we're the ones who are writing...
Well, you are.
...the text.
You're
you
right.
want to be the prophet?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. We're gonna.
I don't think that's gonna be good for you. I, like if you look at the
you don't want to be the
history
prophet,
of religion. James. I don't think that's gonna work out in your favor.
Okay. I won't be the prophet.
You might want to like
you want
to give
prophet
that to somebody
the
else, and then you might want to be like our pope figure eventually or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be more of like a pope figure.
So,
I guess I'll be the prophet since I want to.
You're interested in the, like,
shape
the
some of the morals.
Morality. Yeah.
That make more sense.
All right. If you're going to be martyred, we can just fake it.
Yeah. I don't believe you, your sincerity. I want to be sent from Habu, and I want to have dragon scales for my skin.
Okay, so you're sort of like the second coming of Habu.
I'm like, well, not a second coming, but I'm like a, you know, I'm a missionary sent
from Habu. Got it.
They each had ripped a scale off of its body and created me from it and sent me to Earth.
So you're a reptilian? Oh, I knew we'd end up here.
I think it's the most plausible way to get people to believe in a three-headed dragon god.
You need a sidekick.
I'll take a sidekick.
You got a sidekick. It's a talking sentient ape.
Okay. All right. So what's, wait, I like the sidekick, but like, what's he doing there?
He's talking.
He's just like, he's like, is he like wisecracking?
Comedic relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's interpreting, because Jared can't talk in this situation.
Wait, why can't Jared talk?
I just have a forked tongue.
He's got a forked tongue. It makes him really hard to understand. So.
I don't know. If Jared can't, really bad if Jared can't talk, like, aren't they going to think that the ape is the prophet?
No, because no, the
ape will be subservient
to
me.
It's not me. Uh-huh. It's this guy.
He's like interpreting the will of... What's the name? What's Jared's? Is it just Jared? Or are we giving him a new name?
No, he's got to get a new name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want your name to be, Jared? This is important because like this is going to be in all the texts for
yeah.
Millennia.
How about Reptilex?
Reptilex?
Reptilex.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like reptilian and latex. I'm going to wear a lot of latex.
Okay. That's an interesting aesthetic.
I don't know that people are going to want to follow you.
I think it'll make for some interesting frescoes.
Well, they don't have to. They don't have. They don't have to follow me. They just have to.
You need to have at least a few
me.
People who are like your disciples.
You know, I mean, they might be a little uncomfortable with it, but you know,
it's. I just think it's hard to dispute the authenticity of a latex wearing reptile.
I think you gotta come to Earth in an egg.
Uh huh. You have to hatch from the egg.
Hatch from the egg.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Reptilex? Reptilex? It's a little hard to
Reptilex.
Say.
Reptilex.
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 Okay.
Reptilexander Hamilton.
So...
That's your full name.
So... Reptilexander Hamilton?
Yeah. Yeah, we should get Lin-Moran...
he's going to be one of our first converts.
Yeah, because he will recruit like crazy.
He's going to write a musical about you.
Yeah.
Raptor Alexander Hamilton.
I can't wait.
We are waiting in the wings for you.
Hatching from an egg.
Hatching from an egg. Talking about dragon gods.
Yeah.
He'll okay, so...
He'll figure out...
With a sentient lyrics and melody. Apes. Yeah.
So, you... All right. So, you hatch from an egg... And then somewhere along the way, you know what the sentient ape is kind of like? He's kind of like John the Baptist.
He's totally like John the Baptist.
He's like the one who like discovers Reptilex, and he's like, "You guys, this is the one.
This is, he's real.
Yeah,
he's for real. Yeah. Believe me, I'm an ape."
Yeah.
or
you know, I don't think
taking.
Am I going to be in?
I'm just going to say what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So how about this, Jared? You came to Earth in your egg. And the ape, you crash down in the Virunga park in the Congo, and yeah. This ape happened upon your egg. When you hatched, you gave him the gift of speech.
You know, I was actually thinking it was that talking ape from the movie Congo.
No, because that one just does sign language.
She's got the backpack that like translates it into speech.
No, this is going to be a full on
talking ape. This is like
I think
Caesar
the ape. I don't think I bestow it
apes.
Upon the ape. I think the ape eats some of like the
eats some
sort
of the
placental
the yolk
goo. Yeah,
eats some of your yolk.
There's no yolk because I was the yolk that I became.
What?
Reptilex. So there's got to be some leftover.
So an ape
ooze.
In the Congo eats some of the inside of your birth egg and then can talk,
gain sentience. And speech.
All right. You know what? I guess I can't. It's too late to be confused. So,
what's confusing about that?
There's nothing confusing about it. I'm trying to buy into it as like a 21st century person. If somebody told me that's what happened, I'd be like, nah, that didn't happen.
Well, they're not going to tell you that happened. It's going to
it's
happen.
It's going to happen. Okay. And then,
so the text will foretell of Reptilex's arrival.
Okay.
But the arrival itself won't be in the text. Because that will happen.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'll it'll probably be like another two-part thing, you know, where there's like stories about the
Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah, there's like stories about the way the world is now,
you know,
and there's like some prophecies about the arrival of the reptilian one or whatever, and then like, and then there's afterwards there's like the good word, which is like Reptilex has arrived, and
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then then you can tell people about, you know, the balance between boohoo and ha ha ha.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So, what's going to happen? So, I think we can go ahead and decide if we want this to be a successful text. I want to know what the second half of it is, though. I don't want it to just be like, we'll see what happens after Reptilex gets births from an egg and then gets discovered by, what are we calling the ape?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. This is ridiculous. Once he's found in the wilderness by Abraham Lincoln. Like, is there a story for Reptilex that people...
Yeah. So, from there, Reptilex travels the world.
Mm-hmm. Spreading the word of Buha.
Habu. Habu. So, I guess Abraham Lincoln he's like a gorilla.
Uh-huh.
And Reptilex is riding on his shoulder.
Okay, that's good.
Because...
how big is Reptilex?
He's not very big.
He's
made out of two scales.
Well,
so
it is me, but I just am covered in scales.
Okay.
Wait, it's you and so you're just like, covered in
so
scales?
So it's like Jared sized.
Okay, yeah,
I mean, because we're really doing this, right? Like, I'm going to have to get dragon scales.
Right, we're really
rafted
doing this.
Onto my skin, all right. Over my skin.
Yeah, and we have to like build. We have to build a giant egg that you can pop, that you can ooze out of. And
yeah.
So that's where I get lost somehow, on how we're going to get like a talking gorilla. Like, that's where I start to be like, wait,
oh, I thought this is all going to be real. I didn't think we were going to be faking this.
Well, we're creating a religion. It's all fake.
I mean, we need to be able to point
to... No, I think we have to have real miracles.
Okay. Okay, so you're saying there actually is a Reptilex that's going to hatch out of an egg in the Congo, and...
Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right, let's do that. All right, so...
I think that's, like, if you want to start a new religion in the 21st century where we have all sorts of, like, science and social media...
Can't be a sham.
You can't... It's going to be too hard to make it...
That's a good point. People will just be like, it's fake, and then dismiss it.
The people are probably going to say that anyway.
Right, but...
But you got to be like, but check out my talking ape.
Yeah.
And look at me. I got scales.
Right. Explain that. You can't. No.
I hatch out of an egg.
It's not science. It's a miracle. It's religion.
Yeah.
Okay, so there really is... Sorry, Jared, you're no longer Reptilex. There's an actual Reptilex.
Well, I was still basing him kind of off Jared.
You can be based off Jared in your mind, but, like, it's not Jared. If this is, like, a real thing that's going to happen, like, Jared exists as his own person. Unless he does sort of, like, a Neo thing, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
reborn
but, yeah, I don't,
as Reptilex?
I don't know how that's going to happen, but...
You want to do that, Jared?
I mean, kind of.
Okay, you're going to have to jump into a volcano...
Yeah,
and you'll come back as an egg.
Uh huh. What's strange about this story now is that Jared was not only like a prophet of the coming of the One, he was also the One. Like, he like prophesied his own arrival. It's very complicated.
I'm a double prophet.
Yeah.
Double prophet.
Right.
The world's first double prophet.
So Jared, after recording this podcast, jumped into a volcano, is reborn as Reptilex,
yes,
an emissary of Habu, who is unable to speak, but enlists the help of Abraham Lincoln, a talking gorilla, and a gorilla who acquires the ability to speak by... eating some of Jared's egg goop, I guess.
Yeah, some of the after egg, I guess you could call it.
Okay, and then the two of them walk the earth spreading the word of Habu. I think that's where we're at now in the story.
Yeah.
Like Kung Fu.
Yeah. So...
Is this a good place to stop?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing is, like, does something happen to Jared, or...
Jared is amassing followers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I mean, you're talking like Jared.
In the
like,
story, is there an...
He jumped into a volcano.
Not, sorry, not Jared. Jared now as Reptilex. Is there something... Is the Reptilex story finished with acquiring followers, or is there some sort of like redemption
Here's
act
the thing,
like is, there is with the Jesus story?
I think we have to have some sort of redemption act, because then we need to consolidate power
Yeah.
in the actual church, not in the person.
Right.
And as a prophet, I think, as I need to...
prophets had, like, die on a cross, right? And they still have a religion that follows them.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think...
No, but I need to either, like... I need to prove, you know, the existence of Habu to the earth.
Yeah.
It's not enough for me to just be born from an egg as a reptilian, although you think it would be enough, but it won't be. So I also will have to prove my, you know, like, connection to Habu.
You have to show the world that this whole, like, fortune thing, happiness and sadness thing is, like, a real thing happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to demonstrate that.
I think you do it through
some dramatic act.
Yeah.
And James will have to become appointed as, like, my handler or something that will... Some association with me. That
James is basically Paul in this scenario. He's the Rock, right? I think...
Like, I'm Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I'm more like Dwayne the Rock Johnson than the Prophet Paul.
If we're drawing parallels to the Bible story, it sounds like James is going to go on to found the church.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So... we can, like, kind of keep that in the back of our minds, but we need to figure out what's happening with Reptilex right now.
So here's what I think is how he can perform modern day miracles within the tenets of our theology is that he will be able to predict everything that happens for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows Habu's bets. He knows what bets are taking.
Oh, yeah. He can see the ups and downs.
He can see the ups and downs.
That's good. I think he should foresee his own very misfortunate demise. I think that's how the story ends.
Yeah, is Alzheimer's.
He calls it. He calls, like, something... Alzheimer's? Oh, that's a sad way.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, I could fake it, though.
You're not faking anything. This is all...
Oh, no.
It's real. We're not faking all it.
Okay. Let's have it be more dramatic. And sudden,
uh-huh. Like
then a slow
like
drop, what? Into
like struck
dementia.
By like struck by lightning.
That's pretty good.
It's gonna be something that seems like you're being like called
it
back to the deity.
It should be like almost like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, it's like struck by lightning during a solar eclipse, while getting shot with a flaming arrow.
But wow. But here's the thing: is that sounds like almost intentional. It needs to be a chain of events. That would be impossible to even plan.
Right.
Ah.
That seems like such bad, bad luck.
like the worst luck of all time.
Yeah, right.
Like it's going to start with me stubbing my toe or something like that, and then it's going to keep escalating.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think it has to seem like something so ridiculously by chance and like a convergence of unlikely events
pretty much
result in your death.
Pretty much.
Should it all happen at once, or is it going to be like, this is the
at
prophecy.
At least pretty quickly.
Toe stubbing.
I think it needs to happen pretty quickly.
It's pretty quick. It has to be something that's almost like Mr. Magoo, but like instead of being insanely lucky, it's like...
The opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's more like that movie Pure Luck with Martin Short.
Don't know it. Haven't seen it.
It's about a guy with really bad luck.
Yeah, but it always turns out well for him.
Yeah, right. I guess it's like he has like bad luck that turns into good luck. We should probably think about that movie when we're the final draft of our text.
So there'll be like five or six, like a sequence of five or six events that lead to my untimely and extremely misfortunate demise.
Five or six very unlikely events occurring in rapid succession that are like related and recurring. You know, spontaneously, but they're connected, I guess.
Right. And some of it's like earth events, like it might be weather events. Some of it's perhaps human events that would be extremely difficult to coordinate.
Right. Something like you get like in a flash flood and then the water is like struck by electricity, you know, like things like that's like the last, you know, like that's there's like those are two of the things that happen.
Yeah, I would like to see Jared or Reptilex rather being like flattened by like a cement roller.
Okay, so like the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I don't think a cement roller would be enough to kill Reptilex on its own. I feel like I'm gonna come back a little extra strong. I'm a reptilian, James. I've got scales.
Yeah, I've seen scales before.
Yeah, I don't think they'll hold up against a steamroller.
Yeah, they're gonna be smashed.
Yeah,
squished, that's probably, I guess that's true. But that doesn't seem hard. Like that could be planned.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true. It's got to be very, very random.
That could be the last step, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's like the last insult. I think it's something that happens like after you've already died. It's like you know, like there's like an earthquake that sends you into like a hole, and then the hole fills with like water because there's a flash flood, and then the water gets like struck by lightning or something, which electrifies you.
And then you like
then like a giant you, like, bird picks you up.
Carries you off somewhere, drops you off in a construction site.
Right.
You're like, oh, thank God I'm still alive. And then you step in a piece of gum.
Oh, no.
And that, like, secures your foot, and then you get run over by a cement roller.
That's right. Yeah. And then they drop, because it's a construction site, then they drop all the, like, wet cement on top of you, and you're just cemented in there, in the ground.
Yeah, you're like Han Solo.
Yeah. But, 3 days later. they try to dig you out. You're not there anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or not. I think we can lose that part of the story.
Yeah, we don't need
to. I don't like the resurrection part.
No, there's because the resurrection.
There's no need for our afterlife story. I don't think.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, it's better if people are like, man, that was really unlucky. Like, that was really. He got a tough break there at the end.
I'm okay with that end because I won't know when it's going to happen, and it will be fairly quick, although quite painful.
Yeah, I mean, not like super quick. Like it'll be like
no,
it's not like it's instantaneous. Like this is going to happen over the course of maybe 30 minutes to an hour.
But it's better than Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I think it's less. It's a little less tragic, I think, than Alzheimer's.
Yeah, more. It's
you know yeah, what I you know very, what I really like about it is that it's both boohoo and haha at the same time. That's I think there's something very meaningful in a death that illustrates both sides of the equation.
Yeah,
so I think it's a good that's a good death for our prophet. Reptilex,
born from an egg. Died under a steam roller.
Yeah. So will Reptilex have like a bunch of like really meaningful like proverbs and stuff, or will he just like have like a bunch of?
He's gonna have a really good Twitter feed.
Uh-huh. I'm just like wondering if like I don't know. I'm wondering how insightful he needs to be. Can he? Maybe he'll just like say things that are like really cliche.
I mean, I think that what you'll. He's going to have to be successful in building some sort of a following.
Uh-huh. I mean, I just imagine him saying things like, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs and stuff that like people, you know, things that like imply balance that, you know, people already know. Or is he going to like be doing...
Win some, lose some.
Yeah, like, or is he going to be like coming up with like, you know, like parables and like things that, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering how he's going to do it. Because if he just goes around saying things like win some, lose some and... You know, you got to break some eggs, make an omelet. You know, I don't really know how people.
Sometimes things are sweet. Sometimes they're a little spicy.
No, I think I have to like foretell events before they happen.
You're gonna win the Powerball lottery 10 times.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, that's good. Something people would believe.
Yeah,
they'd be like, there's no way that's chance.
Yeah. But then here's the thing is like every time that you win it, you're going to ask for the lump sum in a check. And every single time you're going to lose the check.
Oh, no.
Win some, lose some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But that's my Twitter feed will be like my reaction to these events. Which I'll be like, hey, not a big deal. You know, I had fortune, then I had misfortune.
Yeah.
That's right.
Saw it coming. Okay. We've done a lot of work today, guys.
We have.
We've got a whole new religion. We've got like a creation myth. We've got a moral, I don't know what you call it.
We have a theology,
a moral structure.
Yeah.
We have an end of the world myth as well.
Yep.
We have a prophet figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a two-headed deity.
That's right.
I think it's in pretty good shape. I think the next thing that we need to do when we come back next week is we're gonna have to build a church.
Yep.
And just ruin all of this. Okay, well, I guess that is going to wrap it up for this week. If you have any additions that you would make to our religion, or if you would like to share a religion of your own with us, you can do that on Twitter, which is where everybody else does that.
And if you want to just straight up write part of the Book of Habu, you can do so by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Or a 4-star review or a 3-star review.
Right.
It's just less likely that your contribution will be accepted.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the will of Habu that there will be both 1-star reviews and 5-star reviews.
That's very true.
So, anyway, so we look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
And this week, let's give a special thanks to Habu itself for all of our good fortune, but especially for our misfortune.
Yeah, because we know that if we're suffering, somebody else is having a good time.
Yeah, that's a nice thought.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to end. All right, see you next week.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.